Hey, it's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, and LeVar Arrington. And coming up, it is week one NFL Sunday aftermath. We're going to take a closer look at that epic battle in the AFC. How does Patrick Mahomes continue to get it done against the Cleveland Browns? We've also got the Pittsburgh Steelers pulling off an upset over the Buffalo Bills. We've got an apology for a prediction gone wrong before the weekend. We've also got somebody that has to answer for something that happened with their former team, and we're going to get into another edition of the Prop Bet Monster, a special look ahead to Monday Night Football from Las Vegas. All of that is coming up next here. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, and LeVar Arrington. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the Coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to week one aftermath and grab ass as we take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And I mean, it really seemed like the Cleveland Browns were going to win their first week one game since like 1988, which I believe was the Bernie Kosar years there in Cleveland, the drive, Marty Schottenheimer, you name it, all the Webster Slaughter, all the legendary Cleveland
Thanks for
Browns.
Bringing that up, Jonas.
I'm just saying, Brady, it felt like they were going to finally get it done, and then all of a sudden special teams kicked in, and it's reason.
I saw that, what you did.
It's reason number 5,480 why LeVar Arrington hates kickers and punters. So here we go, Brady Quinn. What the hell happened to your Cleveland Browns?
It was just the curse. It was the curse that apparently is on my team. I don't know how else to describe it, LeVar, because I look at this and I'm like, he's actually one of the better punters in the league.
Yeah.
He's got a gigantic leg.
The Scottish hammer, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And they call him a punter on the football field. So, like, it's...
Oh, they, coming in hot.
God.
He is. I'm watching that. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Like, I don't have words for that, because if it was an offensive play or defensive play, maybe I'd be a dork and diagnose it. I watch that happen. I just go, that's bad luck. You know, it's what happens to the Browns. And of course, if you give Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs another chance, every time they play, it's so fun to watch them, because Patrick Mahomes is unorthodox, but the way he gets it done, like the way he, you know, twists his body and throws kind of like awkwardly or off the wrong foot, it's still right where it needs to be. Tyreek Hill is wide open. I mean, the one ball he threw was drastically underthrown.
And it was a duck.
Yeah. And then
he just comes up there, catches it,
goes to the end zone. It's just, I'm like, well, that's about right. Like, you can't make a mistake versus that team. And even with the punt, they still had a shot in the end. And it came down to pressure. It came down to, I'm not sure really where Baker was throwing that ball. It didn't look like, even when he threw it, I was like, that probably would have been picked anyway.
Yeah.
So it just, I don't know, LeVar. Is it lack of luck? Is it a curse? What is it in your mind?
It's Cleveland.
I'm from Pittsburgh.
He's from Ohio.
Don't make a Cleveland steamer joke.
You understand.
Do not make a Cleveland steamer joke.
Yeah, it's Cleveland. And that's the only thing I could come up with. Let me tell you something. They had to have been the most impressive losing team of week
one.
They
look damn good,
more than
man.
Dallas? More than Dallas?
More than Dallas.
Yes, okay.
More than Dallas. They played what was perceivably an almost complete game. Almost complete game, and almost knocked off one of the hottest teams in the National Football League. Like, Dallas was in the game and could have won that game and were impressive, but I'd have to say the balance offensively, defensively, that Cleveland showed, the explosiveness, they're going to be a problem this year, man. They are going to be – it would have took only a Kansas City team, in my estimation, that would have even been able to be close enough to be. And let's be clear, it wasn't close for a minute. They was waxing that tail for a few minutes, and then Kansas City, you know, decided to be Kansas City and had some good things happen for them, and they were able to pull it out. But that was as impressive a loss as you could possibly get, and you got to believe that if you're not playing the Super Bowl former champs and Super Bowl appearers, that was probably going to be a win for the Cleveland Browns in week one. So I think there were a lot of positives that they could have taken out of it. But, again, if you're looking at it from the other side of it and you're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs, you're saying to yourself, you know, these dudes know how to win. They know how to win. They know how to push through the adversity. They're on the same page. Like you said, that duck that was up there, that let me tell you something. If the first shot didn't get it, it should have been like shot three or four because it was quacking for so long out there. And yet and still, it makes it to Tariq Hill and you can't catch him. I think some of those plays, it is what it is. But it's that punt to me is definitely was – I hate to say it. It was definitely the reason why they lost that game.
Scottish hammer.
Sorry.
Hey, come on, hey, man.
Let me ask you guys this because they start off week one. I mean, like that game was probably one of the better games we'll see all year because it had a little bit of everything. I just worry because I was thinking in my head, oh, and I think I said it in my notes to y'all, like, we'll see these two again. Like we'll see them again back in the playoffs, right? Like, I feel confident in saying that right now. But it's week one. Like, you and I, we all know after 18 weeks, 17 games, like, they got 16 more now.
Yeah.
A lot could change.
Yeah, things
change. And I'm not saying the Browns won't make it, but – like, Baltimore plays tonight. Pittsburgh beat the Buffalo Bills. Cincinnati beat the Minnesota Vikings. We can get into that because the NFL hosed the Vikings on a particular call. But everyone's undefeated besides the Browns right now down the AFC North. Mm-hmm. And I think Baltimore's going to win tonight. They are the favorite. I look at this thing and I just go, man, we take for granted some of this because we think like, oh, yeah, they'll get a rematch in the playoffs. I'm pretty sure Kansas City's going to be in there. I think Cleveland's going to, but we all know a lot can change over the course of a season. We got 16 more games to go.
By the way,
it's going to be difficult in the AFC North.
Patrick Mahomes, he's 11-0. He's 11-0 in September. He's got 35 touchdowns and zero picks.
Never thrown a pick, man. How about that?
That's unbelievable.
How about that?
It's unbelievable that you could throw a play duck hunter out there and not get your duck shot out of the air in a pro game.
Careful saying that on the air. FCC, just giving you the heads up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you got to space, you got to space those two names out.
I'm sorry, duck. And
Hunt. Okay. Yeah, I got to space that out.
That's my bad.
Say them both slowly.
You know, the pit of vipers here.
I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I don't know that many quarterbacks in the NFL have the confidence, though, to be, you know, being chased out of bounds and literally just kind of fling the football.
Fling it across your body.
Across his body, but fling the football just down in the vicinity of a receiver that you just say, yeah, I know he's going to come back and make a play on the ball. And mind you, Tyreek Hill isn't big. Like, when I had bigger receivers in college, like, I knew they probably weren't going to separate. So my whole goal was if I was scrambling, I need to make a play, I would just throw it up and try to put it away from the defender but give them, like, a chance to go elevate and get it or no one else gets it. In this case, like, it's hard to do that with Tyreek Hill because he's so tiny. Like, you can't put it up where he can just jump up and get it because he's probably not going to out-jump or out-reach another DB. And so he just it's underthrown. He stops, comes back to it, catches it, and then it's, you know, insult to injury there, him just running in the end zone.
I mean, ran away from the dude.
So this is twice in a row we've seen Cleveland really give them a game. I mean, you can go back to the playoff game last year, and we understand the offensive line issues, and Mahomes wasn't 100%, and then he got, you know, dinged, whatever the hell
that
was.
They're better for that game.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at that game, and then you watch what happened on Sunday. Why did they play Kansas City so well?
They're a good team.
But
they match up well. They've got a good defensive front. Their secondary can, I guess, kind of match up. They run the football. They control the game. They can make enough plays in the passing game. Stefanski's good play. I mean, they're a good team. They're one of the better teams in the AFC. I think the interesting thing about the Chiefs is we tend to be like, oh, like their offensive line was banged up. It really wasn't at that point. It was for the Super Bowl, but Their center to right tackle, they all had zero starts before yesterday. Like, that's the thing to watch the rest of the season, is their entire right side from center over on their offensive line just had their first start. All of them, their first career start. I mean, imagine how this is going to potentially go if those guys don't stay healthy, if they don't develop. It's like, if that's the group you're rolling with, you're going with youth, you're going with the optimistic view that they're going to be better by the end of the season. There are still times when Patrick Mahomes is out there running for his life. He's that good at maneuvering the pocket and kind of just making guys stop and miss and everything and in between.
And give schematics a lot of credit as well. Give the coaching staff a lot of credit. I mean, they were able to make some adjustments, especially defensively, where they were able to do some things to get some critical moments, you know, to give Patrick Mahomes some opportunities and give that offense some opportunities. I don't know why Cleveland matches up so well with them outside of what Brady just laid out for you. But what I will say is that is one confident team. They are confident as hell. And that's one of those games that you hate that they had to lose, because I felt like the better team that day, yesterday, did not win the game. And you very rarely can say, wow, the better team did not win the game in this situation. But I really came away from that game after watching it like, man, I can't believe they lost that game. And granted, like, that can draw the, you know, obviously can give you the point of saying, because Kansas City is the better team. I get all that. That's conventional wisdom. But I honestly came away from that game feeling a little dirty. Like, I waited until all the games were done to go shower up, but that one left me feeling a little dirty, bro. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, there's a saying, isn't there, Jonas? Good teams win. Great teams do what?
They win. I don't know. What are you telling me?
Good teams win. Great teams cover.
Okay.
Which in this case,
I know
the Browns lost, but they did cover, so that did help out.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, that is a good point. And if you had Browns on the money line, you've just woken up in a pile of vomit, and you're trying to figure out what day it is.
That's just bad betting advice.
Yeah, well, listen,
you should have went with the points, won the spread. They played him close. You should have known they're going to play him close. It worked out in the end. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. AFC North, punt worked for one AFC North team, punt worked against one AFC.
Yes.
And both were big games.
And there's a chance that if Baltimore gets it done tonight, that the Browns are going to find themselves in last place in the AFC North.
And I wonder if a punt will have something to do with the game's outcome tonight.
Well, who knows? Maybe that'll be a part of the prop bet monster. I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know. Maybe that'll be a part of the prop bet monster.
So we play that for just Monday Night Football, too.
A Monday and Thursday nights. The primetime game, so everybody can play along. We will sprinkle that in throughout the course of the show.
It's a monster, man. It really is.
It definitely is.
Did we ever get the results of the prop bet monster?
You tied last week.
It's also
you
good with bets,
tie.
Too.
Yeah,
know?
It is. It absolutely is. Oh, we are off and running.
I'll figure out what Brady did.
Well, yeah, why not? You know, never too early for a crank joke in the Quinn house. All right, so it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington with you here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
It is week one aftermath, and a little bit of grab ass here. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we are going to get into one team in the NFL that looked really, really impressive. Big time win all of a sudden in the conversation for maybe a sneaky Super Bowl pick. We'll have that for you here momentarily. We do want to give a shout out and a welcome to the all new 104.9 Fox Sports Upstate in Greenville, South Carolina. They just switched over.
Hey, guys.
They are listening to us right now.
Hey, how you doing?
They are the home of the 2-0 South Carolina Gamecocks.
That's
so,
right,
VP of programming, Brian Hall.
Hey, Brian.
Hello to everybody
Zeb
there.
Nolan.
Listen, South Carolina, my old stomping grounds. Great state. A lot of good people out there. So, shout out to the all new 104.9.
Nice Washington football team area. Go ahead.
Yeah, it is.
Why can't you go back, Jonas? Was there something that happened when you left?
No, this okay. You're just you're
they
the
ran him
problems.
Up out of there.
Hey, listen,
it's hard out here for a man. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what kind of man?
For a Jonas man.
Yeah, we're a Jonas man.
It's real hard out here.
We're not at that point yet.
You got to be careful, dog. You got to be careful out here, dog.
Listen to the people listening on 104.9 Fox Sports Upstate. Don't let Brady Quinn steer this into a ditch. I was a good citizen in South Carolina. I did everything by the book. I mean, what do you want?
I mean, just saying, I got some reports from some people around the area who might say otherwise.
Well, listen, it's a great place. I behaved myself at every Waffle House I ever went to at 2 in the morning. So I don't need this sort of aggravation. Mm. But nonetheless, we appreciate you. And thank you again to VP of Programming, Brian Hall. All right, it is Outkick the Coverage
Jonas
here on
took
Fox
that one kind of heart right
no,
there,
saying,
Brady.
You know, just,
he gets way too serious.
Oh, he's got so
he's
sensitive.
He's got a bad feel for when to be serious, when not.
Oh, well, listen, man. I know. I don't appreciate you throwing me under the bus to our new friends in South Carolina.
He wants to go back. He definitely wants to go back.
I'm trying to remind them of when you were back. Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to remind them.
Well, listen long enough, and I think they'll discover on their own when I was there.
He's got the Batman eyebrow right now. Go ahead, get that read.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes 2021 Nielsen report. Limitations apply. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Is that how they say it? Steelers. In Pittsburgh, the Steelers.
You got to replace the E's with an I. So it's still.
Steelers.
There you go.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, you don't got to sound so soft when you
not
say
the,
it.
Well, listen, it's the way I talk, all right? Well, what do you want from me? I'm the least manly guy in the show, all right? It's the way I talk.
You got to say Steelers.
Yeah, you don't need to nod in agreement, Roberto.
Steelers.
Okay, I got it, for
Steelers,
God's sake.
Bitch.
By the
Steelers.
Steelers what? Yeah. look, not the prettiest game in the world for a while, but man, T.J. Watt, that defense got after it. Pittsburgh made plays. You talked about the punt and the punt going in the right direction
for
an AFC North team. But that's a big win for a team that was close to a touchdown underdog at the Bills, who were in an AFC title game last year. Josh Allen never seemed to get comfortable in that game, and Pittsburgh looked damn good, LeVar. You're Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's so interesting you speak on this situation, this topic, because – it's like the reasoning I gave in the first segment about the Browns is the same exact reasoning I'll give you for the Steelers, right? They're the Steelers. It's like, how were they able to go in against such a hot team with such a hot quarterback and playing at the level that they're playing at and being projected at the level they're being projected at, while on the other side, you have so many questions on the offensive front. You have questions in terms of what Ben Roethlisberger is going to be able to do. You have questions in the backfield. What is the running back going to do? You have questions in the receiving core. Are their receivers going to be good enough? You have questions on the defensive side of the ball. Is the secondary going to be good enough? And then they always find a way to do what they did yesterday, which is they win. I don't know. You can go through why they were able to – you know, get enough points, enough passing yards, enough running yards, why they were able to make it happen on special teams, why they were able to defense Buffalo as well as they did. I just think it just comes down to when a team is well ran, and from the top down, it's well run, it seems to be a culture that is able to find a way no matter what. And it's so strange. We still have yet to see Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Why am I getting caught on Mike Tomlin? We still have yet to see him have a losing season as a head coach for this team. So, I mean, you got to give them some props. I don't know how long it can last. I think those questions still do exist on this team. And maybe it doesn't, you know, continue to play out the way that it did. But they're the Steelers. So there's a possibility it could play out. This could turn into their personality. Win games ugly. Make something work. They always say, we don't talk and highlight special teams very much unless special teams are relevant to the topic of why a team won or lost. But it's always stated. There's a couple things that you got to do to be able to win a game. One, you got to win the turnover battle. Two, sometimes it plays a part, sometimes it doesn't, but you always say if you can dominate time of possession, you've put yourself in a position to win. And then also, ultimately, if you can win two out of the three phases of a game, you should win a game. That includes special teams. So we watch special teams be the reason why two teams in really good games lost the game, or at least helped the outcome of it. But Brady, there's no way to sit here for me and be like, this is exactly why the Steelers were able to win that type of a game. It just comes down to they know how to win.
I think when you asked that question, and when you know, after watching it, the thing that popped in my head was there was two narratives going into the game. The Buffalo Bills were supposed to be one of the top teams in the AFC. I still think they have the capability to be. I mean, that defense is nasty. Like, I don't care what anyone says. Special teams obviously played a role, played a part. And it almost had to if the Steelers were going to win that game the way that the Bills defense was playing. It will play this year. I've got some concerns about the Bills offense maintaining what we saw a year ago, which clearly kind of identified itself yesterday. Even though they were kind of good situationally, at least on third down, it just seemed like there was times where there's still, you know, too many negative plays or wasted plays. The fourth down, I don't know what the hell that was. The throw, the pitch backwards,
yeah. What the
7 yards
hell is
deep at fourth and one. That's when you're getting too cute and you're looking for a specific look.
It's your guy Brian Daboll is what it is. Come on
now. Well, and look, every once in a while that's going to happen to a play caller. You got to have the ability to adjust. The thing I came away with was the Bills are supposed to be one of the top teams in the AFC. They didn't look like they're going to be based on how that game finished. And they were up 10-0. Like, I come away asking, should we be more concerned about the Bills after this win or more impressed by what the Steelers did, considering they've got four rookies starting on offense and they went into Buffalo, not an easy place to go win, and they were able to find a way coming back from a deficit, scoring all 23 in the second half. Like, I think I was more impressed by what I saw from Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Now, even though the numbers aren't gaudy, they did enough to be able to get the win. Special teams played a huge role, but the reality is that a lot of people want to write off the Steelers, and I think that this team's not going to factor in. You're dead wrong. Like, this team is going to be, I think, a playoff team, or at least factoring into it comes week 16, 17, 18 when it's all said and done.
If they're just a middle-of-the-road running team, last year they were dead last by a mile. Man. If they're just middle-of-the-road as a running team, like, how are they not factoring in late in the season? I try with that defense and Ben Roethlisberger, I don't think you can depend on him to carry a team anymore at this point in his career, but they've got enough talent on offense. And if Najee Harris turns into what a lot of people think he's going to turn into,
he needs to do one thing better.
What's
and that's
that?
He can't hesitate because he's not a fast guy.
He's not fast.
And he kind of runs like he did at Bama right now, where like, that's one of the biggest adjustments for running backs is, you got to go, man. You can't stop. You can't try to hesitate. You've got to go.
Yeah.
You got to go. You just got to get north and south. Like, everyone's looking to, like, try to, you know, tuck it up in there and then bounce the outside. You ain't getting the outside. You're not going to break a tackle. Like, it's the NFL, man. Like, these dudes are paid to keep their leverage. They're paid to tackle you. You go and get in behind your blockers
for three or four
yards.
Yeah, come
That's
back,
all you need,
again.
Man.
Yeah. If it breaks open, it breaks open. You're right.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, and he'll learn that, and you hope. You know, a guy like Le'Veon Bell, for some strange reason, was able to master the art of patient almost skipping running.
You know what's funny? Have you ever seen Wayne's World? Remember Wayne's World when, like, he would see – is it Cassandra? Was that the name of the singer? In the movie, and he would float towards through all those people to them. That was like how Le'Veon Bell used to skip.
He used to
float forward while he was like kind of still figuring out what he wanted to do.
Here's the hypocrisy on this show.
Uh-oh.
All right, for people listening, here's the hypocrisy.
Here it is.
If I bring up a movie from the 80s or 90s, I get my balls broken for an entire segment about it. Brady brings up Wayne's World, a movie that stinks out loud.
That's not good.
That movie stunk.
That's a great movie, and
it's passable because it's Brady Quinn. That's that Big Noon spin because he's on Big Noon Kickoff and everybody
First
loves
off,
Brady Quinn. He can get away with that crap and I can't.
LeVar. Did you like Wayne's World?
I'm trying to remember because I feel like I believe I liked Wayne's World. Is that the kid with the black glasses and the frohawk?
No, yeah, Garth.
I think that's Lucas. I think that's Lucas.
No, he's talking about Garth.
Is that Bill and Ted?
No,
oh, you're thinking of
Bill and Ted.
Hey, by the way, Bill and Ted were better than Wayne's World.
I did see Wayne's World.
Oh, man, that's not even
Bill and Ted's better than Wayne's World.
That's not even close. They were both good, but Wayne's World was timeless.
I know I've seen it. I just don't remember.
Yeah.
Personally, I like Cool World. Is that what it was?
Cool World?
With Brad Pitt? Cool World.
Yeah, I'm not.
It was a cartoon.
All right.
I liked Heavy Metal too.
Let me just. All right.
You ever see that one?
No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
It's not. Right. They didn't show
it was
that.
Only
where
on, it was only on VHS cassette, actually.
They didn't show that where I grew up, man.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. They actually did. That's actually 100% of where they played it.
I'm trying to get LeVar to say the joke we were talking about on the text chain yesterday, but I don't think we're there yet. So I'm just trying to trip.
It's real out here for my man. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Careful out here, my man.
You have to, my man.
Yeah.
So it is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so big takeaway. Maybe the Bills aren't as great as we thought they were, but the Pittsburgh Steelers could be a problem here for the rest of the AFC.
They figure it out.
Yeah.
They just find ways to figure it out. And then we're going to find out what the Ravens are tonight. And that Browns team looked damn good. So you're talking about a division that is going to be just as competitive, and give shots out to the Bengals.
Damn right.
The Bengals came out swinging, too. They don't want to be forgotten about in this whole scenario, either.
With help from the officials. Oh, nice job for the Cincinnati Bengals.
You got to take advantage.
I'm going to go off on that.
I know you are.
It's so bad. For what the NFL is, the fact that they can't fix this is mind-boggling.
I know. That is going to be a lot of fun. I love it when you blow a gasket. All right. It is careful say that. It is Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, though, we are going to have a conversation about an apology that needs to happen here on the air. Somebody needs to apologize for a take or an opinion they had last week. We'll have that for you next. For all the latest, though, from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, this is a man who deserves respect, and if you don't give it to him, he will take it from your cold, dead hands.
Oh, wow.
It's Isaac Lohenkron.
Hello. Oh, yeah.
Isaac Lohenkron, everybody. Yeah.
Hello, Ilo.
Yeah, Isaac.
Good morning, Ilo.
Yeah.
Come on,
Ilo. All right, Ilo.
Yeah.
Let's do this, Ilo.
Yeah.
Are you there?
All right. Back to you guys.
Oh, he feels good.
Best update of the year.
Go downhill from there. Thank you so much for that very, very kind introduction. The 1992 movie Wayne's World received a 78% approval rating on the noted film review website.
That's not good.
Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, 78%.
That's not good.
Yeah, 78%.
First off, when it came out, Rotten Tomatoes wasn't even around.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to leave it up to those dorks nowadays to understand.
Yeah.
By the way,
right. That's fair.
Let's be honest here. The most important final score, $163 million. That was the profit it made. It made $183 million with a budget of $20 million. That's the most important final score.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
ROI,
with that.
ROI, man. All right. That's ROI right
ROI.
There.
ROI.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
But no.
Wayne's World! Yeah. Party time!
Oh, my God.
What a
terrible movie. Just an awful movie.
It was
you don't
my
like
mind.
Anything. You just love to be miserable.
No, that's not true. I just I like quality stuff. Not
Backdraft.
I had the right movie.
You go, we go.
Yeah, I had the right movie. Yeah, I had
you were right, LeVar.
Movie. Yeah. He had the glasses. That wasn't Wayne, though, was it?
No, it was Garth.
Right.
It was Garth.
Wayne was Mike Myers, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
I just want to apologize to our Lord and Savior, Scott Shapiro, who no doubt is listening
to this live
right now, because it was Brady that steered
who?
Us into a ditch in movies from the 80s on a Monday after the
NFL
weekend.
It's actually a 1990s movie.
Yeah, all right, well, yeah.
Hey, 90s, Weird 80s. Science or Breakfast Club?
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm going Weird Science. But I think it's just because my mind was a little bit more developed than what
you know
it should have been.
You know what I got for Christmas?
Science.
A carton of cigarettes. The old man woke me up and said, "Hey, smoke up, Johnny."
I could care less about that part. I was more into like when they brought her to life.
Thank you, LeVar.
Yeah.
You know what
Thank
I mean?
All the gothic chick?
Yeah.
The Hot Topic reject.
Oh, Overboard?
All.
Or Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Overboard.
Oh, that's a tough
I'm going Overboard. With Dean
really?
Prophet, with Dean Prophet, Kurt Russell. Come on, man. Little
Goldie
Overboard.
Hawn?
Yes.
I know. That was good.
That was
Come
a
on.
Good movie.
Brady, here's the Brady hard we've thing. Talked about it.
I know,
Overboard.
I know. I'm torn on this one because I think they're kind of so different movies. And plus, we use Ferris Bueller's day off as like the way
to take your day off.
No.
Oh, that's what I did.
Our oldest daughter's name's Sloan.
Oh.
And so we ask people, and they're like, oh, where'd you come up with that name? You're old as hell if you say Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Wow.
Because most younger folks, they go, oh, Entourage, like that's Sloan. And we're like, yep. So if you say Ferris Bueller's Day Off, you're with all the old folks. Mm, if you say Entourage, you're more part of the younger
crowd.
Which
was a good show as well. All right, let me ask y'all this one.
All right.
Willow or Goonies?
Goonies.
Oh, Goonies, yeah.
You know, actually,
Goonies is dope, but I loved Willow. And I met him.
You met really?
I met Willow.
The actual Willow?
I met the actual dude.
Does he look weird?
No, he looks the same.
Okay.
I was like so pumped up.
All right. Yeah.
He was a New York Giants fan.
Oh, really?
And we were playing the Giants.
Nice.
And we were in New Jersey, and he was in a restaurant, ironically. I'm like, yo!
Yeah.
Like loud and in a very, very, like, high establishement. Like, it was, like, really high. And I was like, you're Willow! Can't believe it! Like, everybody's sitting there looking at our table. Like, I'm sitting there with, like, a who's who of players, and everybody's, like, gawking over us, like, da-da-da. He comes walking in. I start fanboying out. I jumped up. I was like, yo, can I get an autograph?
To Willow.
Yes.
Nice.
On God. Everything I'm telling you. I jumped up like, it's Willow! This is amazing! Can life get any better for an NFL football player? I mean, honestly, here's Willow right there, right in front of me. Like, right there.
Well,
like, there he is.
It could. You could not play for the Giants.
Little as hell. He was little as hell. And he was Willow. All of Willow. 100% Willow.
You could not play for the Giants. That's how it gets better.
Is that a Ron Howard movie, by the way?
Yeah. Ron Howard, director of Backdraft.
Might have been a Lucas movie, right?
Yeah.
I think that was Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Willow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Howard. All right. It is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. Apologies to, again, Scott Shapiro. That was Brady that steered us down that ditch. All right. Coming up next here
it was
on
enjoyable.
FSR. We are going to get into just an apology that needs to happen and maybe the most honest post-game interview that you'll ever hear. We'll get to that next year. It's Outkick the Coverage, Fox Sports Radio.
Roger Moore, Dudley Moore.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of next hour, a little over 10 minutes from now. If you ever wanted to know what it was like to get a member of the Big Noon Kickoff crew really pissed off, we just happen to have one on this show, and he is outraged by something we saw in the NFL. So stand back. There will be an explosion a little over 10 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. So that'll be a lot of fun.
And there will be some good radio.
Yes, that as well, too.
I'm just going to keep the theme alive.
Why not? Me as well. All right. So, you know, I might have come on the air last week and said that, you know, the Green Bay Packers are going to butcher the New Orleans Saints lay waste to and, you know, listen, if not anything, I'm accountable for my actions, and I would like to apologize. I got that one wrong because the New Orleans Saints whooped that ass. That was not even close. And they could try and say, well, you know, it's because we picked the location, but it was majority Packer fans that were there. But, my God, LeVar, you've been bullish on the New Orleans Saints I don't want to speak for Brady, but I myself have said, nope, I'm not buying it. And New Orleans looked damn good yesterday against
Green
Bay.
I'm still not buying it, but they whooped them up. There was no doubt about it. I was wrong on that one, too. And I will disagree with this. I actually saw a fair amount of Saints fans there. I was surprised you said that because one of my buddies in the neighborhood was working up there, and he said they traveled well. So they had a good presence of Saints fans, which they've got a good fan base. So I was glad to see that was the case.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have them winning the division. And that, if that's bullish, that's bullish. I think that if you just break down what they've been able to accomplish, they have been the most consistently successful team throughout the NFC, especially the NFC South. So to me, when you look at it, sure, you can look at Tampa Bay and say it's going to be Tampa, but I still think that there's one team that schemes them well, that's confident in playing against them, and that's the New Orleans Saints. And that played out last year, both times that they played. So, listen, they surprised me in the sense that they were as dominant as they were, but it didn't surprise me that they were as successful as they were in that game.
Yeah, well, there was a
– So, yeah, this game again, and I think there's a lot of this in week one, but – Rodgers looked bad. The offense looked bad. It looked like he took the entire season off. Like, he looked like a quarterback that hadn't really gotten to a rhythm at all.
It was kicking a hacky sack in Hawaii, you know?
That's your words, not mine. Yeah. But he looked off.
I used to love doing hacky sack time.
That's all right.
Really?
Yeah man. At lunchtime?
Yeah.
In high school?
Yeah. With the rest of the potheads.
You know what was cool? You actually were able to be an icebreaker. Like, this is a horrible admission. So one of my icebreakers in college, my freshman year, I had two. One was rollerblading, so you got this big, tall, black dude rollerblading, right? That was an icebreaker at a school like Penn State. Like black people rollerblade? Like, yeah. Hi, I'm LeVar. Right? Icebreaker.
They call me Sticks.
Let me take these off and put my shoes back on.
I didn't say it. That's LeVar.
Right? So, yeah, that's true. We can say it. Y'all can't. So here's the thing, right? So, and then the other one was hacky sacking in the hub,
wow.
Like in the center of campus.
Look at you.
Where they used to go get food and stuff like that. You like have a hacky sack, you start like you throw it up and see if somebody start kicking it with you. Next thing you know, you got like three or four people.
Yeah.
Or you go to the lawn of Old Main and you start hacky sacking with people. I'm telling you, it's the coolest thing because people like start like hacky sacking with you.
It's a great party starter.
It's an icebreaker.
Now I don't know if Rodgers actually did that in Hawaii.
He didn't practice football. We don't know what he did do, but we do know he didn't practice football.
Now the Rodgers portion of the conversation, I do think is worth a deep dive. But to end the hour here, Brady Quinn found this, and I thought it was maybe the most honest. This is the most honest post-game conversation I think I've ever heard from an NFL quarterback. And that quarterback was Jameis Winston. He is fresh off LASIK or whatever they call
Jameis.
That eye surgery.
Jameis could do this.
Yeah, so Jameis was having his post-game interview, and he gave the reason for his success.
How did the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
God, I love that kid.
Just play it again. Please play it again, because I want to listen to the moment when he realized, yeah, I don't have it.
Let's play it again. And I'm not even going to try.
How did the defense in the running game give overall shape to the way this played out, Jameis?
Well, I just think we were prepared. You know, one thing my trainer, he told me, he said, what did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
Told us to be prepared.
Oh, good.
Oh, boy.
Listen, we've all been
at
there.
At least he didn't say to eat the W's or whatever. At least he didn't say nothing. Yeah. At least he didn't. This is the new Jameis. See, the old Jameis would have forced it.
Yeah, would have licked his hands.
There would have been a turnover on that interview soundbite, right?
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it.
But instead, he protected himself.
Yes, that's good.
And he pulled the ball down. He checked down. He threw it away or he slid.
That's
got
good.
Down. Live the
and
fight
he
another
comes
day.
Off, he comes off so much more likable and lovable. And you got to feel good about how he played, distributed the football. He wasn't asked to do much, but he delivered every time he was. So I'm happy for him, man. I really am. I hope this is something to be good the rest of this season. It's going to be him taking this team maybe to the playoffs.
It's Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. A pissed off Brady Quinn is yours next on FSR.